Hello, Ben.
My name's Jeremy Wells, and this is Matt Heath.
Hello, Jeremy, and this is our podcast, The Best Bits from Today's Show. And at the end of it, you go, well, I won't be listening to that show in its entirety if those are the best bits, because pretty low level. Pretty low level.
Massive head of Christmas steam week on the Matt and Jenny Show.
It's well documented that yesterday we got stuck into the mulled wine because, of course, we're getting a massive head of Christmas steam up all week to celebrate for you. And a lot of New Zealanders, Matt, have been tweeting us and actually giving us a text as well on 3483 about saying thank you very much for encouraging me to get a massive head of Christmas steam.
Yeah, well,
all week as well.
It's the season of giving, Jerry, and if we give back the idea to people to get steamed, then I think we can pack up and not give anything else to anyone, including our kids, because we've done enough this year.
Yeah, pretty cool.
So, Jerry, I can now announce what flavour of head of steam we're getting up today. Before, yes. I said it was a type of nog, yeah, that we were going to be making.
It was a
making.
Very, very good tease. Very, yeah. Very, I don't know, it really lured me in, that's for sure.
And I can now confirm that it is an eggnog.
Eggnog
making. So I've combined milk, cloves, half a teaspoon of vanilla and cinnamon in a saucepan earlier, and I've heated it over the lowest setting for about 5 minutes and slowly bring it to boil. And now I'm going to add some egg yolks and some sugar, and then I'm going to put a shitload of rum and vodka in there, and then cover it in nutmeg, which is, I've told you about what nutmeg can do to you. I told you what happened to my mate. Comments went crazy on the nutmeg. He had to move into his parents' attic.
He didn't go crazy because you called him Comments.
I called him Comments because he was always making comments.
Yeah, that's probably what drove him crazy. because everybody's always making comments.
Right.
I think I could call you Comments. You're always making comments about stuff as well. But if someone calls you Comments, then every single time you comment, then you go, oh, here's old Comments again.
Well, that's what, it was great actually, because he was famous for his comments. And then you could always shut his comments down and go, here goes Comments with his comments. And then Comments. But the other name I put...
That is actually an evil nickname. That is an evil nickname. That is an evil nickname.
He had a car, actually, when we were at high school. He was the first person to have a car, so my first nickname for him was Wheels. It was Wheels, and then when we all got cars, he was Comments.
Oh, my God.
And then he was the Dark Material after we went crazy on that.
Oh, the Dark Material.
Then we changed his nickname to the Dark Material when his brain went missing on the nutmeg for a few years.
Oh, jeez.
Living in the attic.
So should we really be having this nutmeg then? No, you're not selling it into me. I've got to be honest with you.
Oh, well. Well, you can but try, you know what I'm saying? Let's see if Patrick with the Massive Downstairs has done this. Good morning, Patrick with the Massive Downstairs.
Oh.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled program to bring you this. Butt dial.
No, it's not a butt dial.
It's not a butt dial.
Oh, damn.
How are you this morning, cock?
Can you not just put your phone back in your pocket and not talk to us?
I could, but I'm only spraying at the moment, so there'd be nothing happening in the background. It'd be massively punishing.
Fair enough.
How can we help you, Patrick?
Merry Christmas for a start.
Thank you. Season's greetings to you too, Patrick with the Massive Downstairs.
Oh, cheers for that. And I was on the downstairs, mm-hmm. on the downstairs, but I've scared a few people away from the urinal, actually.
I've
sent a few people to the cubicle.
I bet you have. I bet you.
They've come in, they've seen it, and they've gone around.
They've turned on their heel and rushed to the cubicle.
Are you one of those guys, Patrick, that prepares himself for the cubicle about a metre before he gets to the cubicle? So your pants down, all the way down to around your ankles, you just sort of slowly walk your way
waddling in like Donald Duck.
Yeah.
I waddle my way in, and I generally take centre of the urinal, if it's big old piss bank. I'll take exactly centre.
I'm way over in the corner facing the wall.
I take middle and leg.
Not in the corner facing the wall with maybe the tap running to get me going. I normally walk up to the urinal half stream going, straight in the gut.
It's good to know, especially when we're about to eat a bunch of eggnog.
What did I ring about? Oh, nicknames. I've got a mate's mate, and he's called Yarns.
Yarns.
Oh, see, that's...
It's the same kind of thing, isn't it?
He's always telling shit yarns.
Yeah.
That's a terrible nickname. Because it just stops you from saying anything. If you're called Yarns, or Comments is worse. Comments is the worst.
It does. No, but it's true. Comments used to come in through with a lot of comments until he started being called Comments. And then he pretty much shut up and then got on the nutmeg and then moved into his parents' attic.
This guy comes in with just rubbish yarns all the time. And he thinks Yarns is a good nickname.
Yarns. Maybe you should add bad yarns.
No, but that's too obvious.
Bad yarns.
Yeah.
Mm. Patrick, with the massive downstairs, how did you get your nickname?
Well, partly because I needed a good sting for the radio.
Oh, yeah.
But also because I've got a massive downstairs.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
It's fairly self-explanatory.
Mm. Hey, Patrick, with the massive downstairs, Matt's making eggnog. Well, he's made eggnog for us. He's in the final throes of doing it. So do you want to get this thing underway, Matt? With a
I'd love some eggnog.
Yeah, yeah. Sweet. Okay, we'll pour it in the phone line. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah. We'll be back. We'll be back with some nog.
Massive head of Christmas steam. Week on the Matt and Jenny Show.
Monday was mulled wine. Tuesday is eggnog. And you might wonder, why is it called eggnog? Because what is a nog, exactly? And the answer's actually debated. Nobody really knows. One theory is that nog derives from the word noggin, Matt, which was a Middle English word for a type of mug that alcohol was served in.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Where does the egg part come from?
From eggs.
All right.
The other theory claims that the name derived from a colonial term for rum. Called egg and grog. The term was shortened to egg and grog and would eventually become eggnog.
I think I've broken the blender.
It's got nothing to do with... Why are you even blending it?
Because I cooked it all up and I combined milk, cloves, half a teaspoon of vanilla and cinnamon in a saucepan and heated it over the lowest setting for 5 minutes. And then I added a bunch of egg yolks and sugar and whisked it together and put a bunch of vodka and stuff in there,
so
and cream
the recipe,
and all that kind of stuff. Mm. But it's massively lumpy. Like it's come out like with these big, dry... areas of nutmeg.
Was the milk? When was the milk's used by date? Because maybe it was.
That's fine. It's today.
Well, and did you refrigerate that milk? Because milk's going a bit weird at the moment.
Is it?
It's going. Yeah.
Is it?
Well, it is in my house.
Right. Well, this isn't milk from your house. This is milk that I found on the bench out there in the kitchen.
Exactly.
But the lumps aren't milk lumps. They're not goo lumps. They're dry lumps of. Nutmeg.
Okay.
Like they're large pockets of nutmeg. I think I put too much nutmeg in there.
Anyway,
actually.
So you're blending it?
Yep.
And, okay, is it ready to go yet?
Yeah, it's hot in the blender as well. I think it's damaged the blender because it's so hot. I took it off the saucepan. I think this is more of a smoothie blender.
Do you think this is the drink that George Michael drank before they shot the last Christmas video? With the jerseys?
Yep.
Okay, Matt's trying to get the lid off the blender now.
Oh, shit.
Oh, there we go. It's off. Good.
Right.
Thank you. All right. Let's. How hot is it? It looks pretty hot.
Yeah. Oh, shit. It's gone everywhere. Oh, my. It's going to really stink up by the time they get to Bougie.
Okay.
There we go. Delicious. Hang on a minute. I'm just going to put another sprinkle of nutmeg on the top.
Oh,
there.
Right. Okay.
Sprinkle of nutmeg on top of the nutmeg.
There we go. All right.
Let's
got it. Get
his name.
Okay. Here we go.
I don't know if we needed... Because it normally says just to put rum in there, but you're suggesting putting vodka in there as well.
Ooh, this is good.
What's up?
Oh, yeah.
That's very good.
You got to say, that's good eggnog.
That is very good.
Matt, you've done a great job on that.
Jesus, it's powerful.
Ooh. How much vodka did you put in?
I put half the vodka in there.
Oh, my God.
And half the rum. Because I thought we'd do a second run. Jeez. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Oh, Merry Christmas. That's delicious.
Matt Heath, Jeremy Wells, The Hodaki Breakfast.
I see Lance Armstrong's in town, Matt.
Yeah, Lance Armstrong, the world's most famous drugs cheat. It must be weird to be him, because everywhere you go, people see you and go, drugs cheat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so you buy a coffee, drugs cheat. You, anything, get in an Uber, drugs cheat. You know, that's what all people ever think about you.
He's doing a ride around the Auckland waterfront this morning.
Right, like for what?
In fact, I think he's already started doing it. Is it 6 o'clock or something?
Has he pilled up, drugged up?
I think he's...
Roided up?
I think last night he did some doping.
He got his blood transfused in a hotel room.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did some kind of blood transfusion thing just because he wanted to make sure he performed. Well, you know what? He is the most competitive dude. I wouldn't be surprised, actually.
Yeah, right. Because even though he's... Who is he competing against? Is it Hamish Carter? Someone like that?
I just think he's going in some school kids riding around. I don't think actually they put kids anywhere near him anymore, do they?
No. Do you know what would be funny, Jerry? It'd be funny because you know how we've got that mammoth bike?
Yeah.
That's it's a bike now with a full mammoth head on it that we need for the ACC Cricket Summer Stadium Penetrating Vehicle, it's called. Wouldn't it be good to have a giant hypodermic needle bike and then chase him around with it, poking him with the end of it?
That would be so good.
It would be so good. If you could keep up with him. Because that would really make him run, because it would be so humiliating for him if you poked him in the butt with your hypodermic needle bike. So he'd be really rushing. He'd be trying to race away from you and you'd be catching up with him and poking him in the butt.
Well, what would be great is if you got a whole team of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you had the hypodermic needle bike, and then you had a person with one of those blood transfusion bags on some wheels, and they were riding along beside, and then you had people in nurses' outfits, and you just surrounded him, and you sort of boxed him in, like the Peloton sort of boxed him in.
Oh, yeah, like as a team.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
It was kind of a medical team.
Yeah, and then so they block him, and then the hypodermic needle bike comes up from behind and jabs him.
I love the idea of that.
Would that be considered as harassment?
No, I don't think so.
When's he doing this bike ride? How long? Does anyone out there, 0800 Hodaki, if you've got a hypodermic needle bike you can lend us and get down to the Auckland waterfront by...
Well, I think it's already happened.
Oh, has it?
Well, maybe it's at 7 o'clock. He's definitely meant to be doing some riding. It's kind of weird when he turns up somewhere. I don't know if you've seen the documentary about him. It's next level, man. Like Floyd Landers, he killed people. Like anybody who suggested that Lance Armstrong was a drugs cheat, which he was, he would just ruin their career. He would go after their family. It was next level. His hypocrisy was insane, which is why the world has come down so hard on him.
James David Coburn, Wellington builder.
Yeah, you got it right the first time.
Have you got a hypodermic needle bike?
Do you?
No, do you?
Yeah, I've got one.
You've got one, but you were in Wellington, aren't you?
Yeah, but the hypodermic needle's not. Sounds like it's in Auckland.
No, but I need...
Hey, look,
but
James...
you've got the bike.
James David Coburn, we had some issues with you yesterday.
So hang on.
Oh, sorry, you stepped in the way again.
We had some issues with you yesterday.
So James David Coburn, you've got the bike or the hypodermic needle?
Yeah.
Yep. How big is your hypodermic needle?
Real big.
Because we need it to be novelty check big, you know, not just in a big one. Not just one.
Oh, I see. How big do you want then?
Massive, like 3 metres with a massive 1 metre needle at the front.
I tell you, James David Coburn is an interesting... He's an interesting operator, isn't he?
He's an operator, for sure.
Is he on the fucking manas?
He might be on the nutmeg.
Do you reckon?
He's on the eggnogs.
He's got a bit of a fucking mana vibe to me.
And did Ash like my eggnog?
It's the Fact Factor.
Here's how it works. So I come up with a topic, and that comes up with 3 facts on that topic. We'll judge whether they're good or bad, work out whether he has the Fact Factor. Here's the topic this morning, Christmas. Because it's Christmas week.
Suck the life out of me topic.
What do you mean? Christmas?
Last week, up to Christmas last year, you asked for Christmas facts for the whole week.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you're going to do that for the rest of the week now. You're going to say...
it's Christmas.
And then you're going to say, I don't want any of the Christmas facts you did last year, and that was 5 times 3, 15 facts on Christmas.
Yeah.
And so now I have to get a whole new 15 facts you've never heard before?
Yeah, exactly.
There's only about 10 facts on Christmas.
Many facts on Christmas.
All right, let's see how I go today.
Okay, what's your first Christmas fact?
Paul McCartney earns nearly $500,000 every year from his Christmas song, this one simply having a wonderful Christmas time, which most critics regard as his worst song ever.
Fact, you Heath, that's fact.
You did that one last year.
Did I?
Yep.
I reckon we've made this eggnog too strong.
I agree.
It's way too strong.
Well, why'd you put vodka and... rum in it.
I know. Why did the egg cross the road?
Well, since when was putting 2 spirits in a drink a good idea?
I don't know. You could have, should have, would have. Why didn't you tell me at the time not to put both the spirits in there?
Well, I wasn't even there when you were doing it.
Still.
Bad start from you and the Fact Factor. None from one. What's your second Christmas fact?
Nearly all the most popular songs, Christmas, sorry, I'll start again. Just like the ones Nearly all the most popular Christmas songs, including Winter Wonderland, Chestnuts Roasting, and this one, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, were written by Jewish people who don't even celebrate Christmas.
That's racist.
Careful. What do you mean?
Careful.
What?
He's got to be very, very careful around White Christmas. It's a racist song. He's dreaming of a white Christmas. He doesn't like brown people.
It's not what a white Christmas is.
What is it then?
It's when you get on the massive on the...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's dreaming of a white Christmas, is he? He wouldn't be singing like this, that's for sure. A little bit more upbeat. Still, it's racist.
Fact, you Heath. That's fact. So I haven't got the fact already.
No. Well, they're the same. That was a new thing. What?
I'm invoking my right to a lifeline. 0800 Hobonaki. One caller decides if that fact was good or bad.
Do you want to go to Chris?
Yeah, I'll go to Chris. Good morning, Chris. Where are you ringing from?
Central Auckland.
Oh, Central Auckland. Central Auckland. Is that where you live? Or are you just there?
Yeah, more or less.
Right, I live Central Auckland. Good or bad fact there, Chris?
I thought that was reasonable. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it.
Okay, so that's enough,
what a fact! That has the fact factor.
No, he just said it was reasonable. He didn't
Chris from
it.
Central Auckland has humiliated you.
No, Chris from Central Auckland didn't actually... What, are you giving him the thumbs up or the thumbs down, though, Chris?
Yep, you can have that one, Matt. Oh. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. There's so much nutmeg and vodka in this. Ignore. Jesus.
Okay, so you're still in it. You got one good fact, you got one bad fact?
Yep.
Just... What's the third and final Christmas fact?
Between the 16th and 19th centuries was what is known as a Little Ice Age, where global temperatures were several degrees lower than normal. It is for this reason that many Christmas carols and songs stress a white Christmas. In actuality, there were only 5 official white Christmases in the 20th century in the UK.
Oh, I suppose I got it too.
What a fact! That has the fact factor.
I'm only giving that to you because this is quite a good eggnog.
Imagine living in the 16th century, and not only living in the 16th century, which is punishingly old-fashioned and brutal with lots of disease and horrible clothes that make you look like an egg that swallowed, like a bird that swallowed a plate. Mm. But it's also a mini ice age, so you're freezing as well.
Wasn't a great time
to be living in England.
Most people, it was a bad time, but. Then again, how are they going to look back on us in the 25th century?
They'll think this is a horrible, harsh and brutal time to live.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They won't believe that you have eggnogs with that much nutmeg, whole half bottle of vodka, whole half bottle of rum in it.
They definitely won't be talking about this radio show, I can tell you that much.
No, we'll live on.
You reckon?
Yeah, we'll live on.
Podcasts and stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
We won't have MP3s and stuff.
No, we still have a Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure type.
We'll be out of format.
Aligning of the planet stop situation.
You got the fact-factor, well.
Congratulations, you've made it halfway through the Matt and Jerry podcast. You reckon it's worth listening to the end, Jerry?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Now, Jerry, here on the Hodaki Breakfast, we take a lot, and we take and we take and we take and we take. Like, for example, this morning you've taken about 5 eggnogs in Christmas spirit. But we also give something back. That's why we started the Heath Wells Foundation, to try and do some stuff for the community. And this year we took on a bit of a project down in Mount Maunganui. With Logan and his dog, Brian, and we gave him some advice and we helped him through, and it'd be great to check in with Brian and his owner, Logan, and see if the fruits of our charity have paid off.
How's Brian going, Logan?
Good morning, chaps. Yeah, he's going, he's not actually going the best. He's on top of all his other failings, he's also contracted his epilepsy.
Okay, hold on, Logan. Okay, so Brian's a bulldog. Brian the Bulldog, let's go through his issues. He's dangerously obese.
We fixed that though, didn't we? We put him on the soft sandwich.
Yeah, you put him on a salad diet, which he wouldn't eat, and then had to go finding other food.
He ended up pesting his way into the next door neighbours, didn't he?
He is such a predator.
He's a massive pest. And then Brian had an issue as well with his tail, a condition called screw tail.
Yes, the vet named it. It's called screw tail, so it's where his tail grows into his own bum hole.
But we solved that. We've got that. You can put that plaster over his butthole, didn't you? Solve that.
Yeah, that. No, he just, because as soon as he did a poo, it pushes the plaster out and back to issue.
And the tail was back in there? Okay.
Yeah.
So
we haven't solved either of those.
Hold on, the other. So also his downstairs operation looked like a skittle.
Yeah, he's got the skittle that, so the end of his japsy looks like it's got. Yeah, skittle growing off it.
It's for me the most disturbing part of Brian.
But be fair, Logan, we did say that we were unable to help with the skittle downstairs operation. It wasn't worth in as a charity. We don't really have the means to fix that. I mean, Jerry suggested some home surgery, but that's not where we don't really want to get involved with that.
And no, we all had was a box cutter.
Now he's got epilepsy.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. He's booked in for an operation on his tail, which is where they cut it off, and it, you know.
Are we paying for that from the Heath Wells Foundation?
Well, I don't know. You could maybe put some money towards it. I was actually thinking about, one day I was vacuuming up his hair, and I realised that the cord wraps in really quickly. And I thought, well, I could race guys and make money doing that. So I was thinking about having a vacuum cleaner cord race and hustling for money.
What's seeing how quickly he can revel up?
Well, how quickly he can chase a cord into a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, I thought you were still talking about the screw tails.
No. He's talking about vacuum cleaners.
Right.
You should have been. That's the nutmeg.
Hey, how did you find out that Brian had epilepsy?
Yeah, Brian had epilepsy. So he's on anti-seizure pills.
But how did you find that out?
Because he had a seizure.
And did he?
Went off stiff as a board and shook around and, yeah.
Well, you got to say, Logan.
Have you gone back to check out his parents, Brian's parents? What state are they in? You've got some, like, before
well,
you...
Well, his parents, are, I think his parents are siblings.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so before you blame the Heath Wells Foundation for not being able to fix Brian, maybe it was the genetics that created Brian. We need to go back further.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll go back to Hoona and find the lady who's got the puppy mill and say, hey, stop breeding brother and sisters.
Are you going to breed Brian?
No way. No way. After about the first $8,000 worth of surgery, we thought, well, let's chop those back wheels off and we'll stop that right there.
So there's no way anybody is going to pay anything for the spawn of Brian.
Hey, so Logan, just because we like to check our people that we deal with and get a favourability rating, how would you rate the Heath Wells Foundation's contribution to yours and Brian's life?
Apart from, actually, I don't know. What did you contribute?
We suggested.
Just remind me again, or what you actually.
We suggested the Band-Aid to stop the tail going in.
Oh, you've had some great suggestions. I mean, but the actual contributions probably haven't been that significant.
Well, it's just great to give something back.
We're results focused.
We've taken so much. It just feels great.
What were our KPIs? Just sort of helping Brian.
Yeah, helping Brian.
Well, he put on weight, so he didn't do anything there.
This is why we do it, though.
That's partly my fault, so.
This is why we do it. I mean, it's not just the flash charity dinners that we spend all our money on. It's this. It's helping people in the community, like Logan and his dog, Brian.
Well, keep us updated on Brian. It's going to be good. We're going to be down at the Mount on the 6th and the 8th of January to watch the Black Caps play Bangladesh, Logan. So no doubt we'll see you and we'll see Brian and just
maybe change your Band-Aid.
Well, can we rustle up a vacuum cleaner cord race? Maybe call it. Heath Wells Foundation could call the race and we have a tote going and raise some money for the surgery.
Maybe. Yeah, no, we could probably do something like that. It's all about giving something back. Agenda. Later, Auckland are pulled over for trying to transport swing set on the top of their car.
Looking forward to that.
Not getting to it just yet. Soon, people purposely buy food their partner doesn't like, but now new Airbus designs.
Radical new designs for airplanes could feature showers, cafes and cocktail bars on board. futurists at A3 Airbus's group Silicon Valley Research Outpost are contemplating a new paradigm of using modules. The idea is to expand the kind of niche amenities some airlines now offer big spenders, premium cash cabin showers and cocktail bars already. They allow carriers to move further from the commodity business of cattle class. It's very interesting. This idea's been around for a while, hasn't it, of basically having shopping malls inside of aeroplanes, places where people can relax, people can have a drink, sit around a bar, maybe even put a seatbelt on bar stools so you can sit there and share a drink in very heavy turbulence.
Those whole cocktail bar things, it looks amazing. And they do have them in some first-class areas. We have a small area where you can hang around. And, of course, you can pest the staff up in the little bulkhead where the kitchen is. And
you're not meant to do that. That's you that does that. You are one of the few people that does that in the world.
What about on that trip we went over to the Rugby World Cup and you formed that scrum down the middle of the aisle?
That's right. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that.
Yeah, like right down the aisle. A scrum with how many people were involved in that scrum?
There's a type 5, so 10.
Mm.
But interestingly,
and those baby boomers we were up against, baby boomer just popped up straight away.
Yeah, we popped the baby boomer, drove them straight back onto aisle 35. Geez, that was good.
We just drove them back.
Oh, man, you just got to, as soon as they pop and they're on the back foot, you just got to really, then you've got to lift and drive. Hey, do you know now when you go on long-haul flights,
yeah,
I believe it's the Matt Heath rule.
What?
They say people are not allowed to congregate in those areas.
But those are the best areas to congregate.
I know, but that's from you pesting hostesses in that area.
I remember we were on a plane, and all before we got on this big trip, we were talking about, this plane's going to be full of punishers. And I went to sleep and I woke up and I looked around and I go, this plane is full of punishers, and it's you, it's AC's Head Grotlang, it's Lee Hart, it's Jason Hoyt, and it's Joseph Drury. And they're all us with the punishers on that trip.
Well, the problem with that trip was we were so nervous about being the MC, because we were MCs. And we had to entertain people for the first hour of the flight, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right. And no one wanted to be entertained on the first hour of flight because they just want to watch their movie or go to sleep. They don't want... And so this woman came at me, like, because I was just doing a bit of admin around the flight over to the World Cup, and then she comes up to me and she goes, shut up, you're boring.
Yeah.
And
but then what happened?
She was so drunk that she climbed into a cupboard.
Yeah, she went to go to the toilet. And she went into the cupboard.
And she had to be helped out by a steward.
That was
she climbed into the cupboard. And then when she came out, she didn't have any comeback for that, had she? That she climbed into a cupboard.
She was massively humiliating.
Absolutely. But she could have done with a cocktail lounge or a cafe to hang out in. Or maybe sort of a drunk tank would have been good for her as well.
Well, they're always suggesting that these things are going to happen, but I guess they do have them on some planes, but they probably just encourage people to sit around drinking and they probably don't want to do that anymore. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Lance Armstrong.
Yes,
yes.
He did pop out of the lycra for a moment and it looked like a baby's arm holding an apple.
Oh, wow.
Focused on the downstairs.
Good work.
Good
Hashtag focused on the downstairs. We've got another 16 minutes of downstairs focus to go.
Well, that's interesting because, of course, he's had a bit of action down there in the surgical front, hasn't he, old Lance Armstrong?
Has he?
Yeah. He's had one of his wheels removed.
Oh, of course he has. I thought you were going to say he had a circumcision.
No. But anyway, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to these planes not arriving and just being designs that people talk about in newspapers and never turning up.
Matt Heath, Jeremy Wells, The Hodaki Breakfast.
A little bit ago, Matt.
Yeah.
We gave away your fadge.
That's right.
Your car, your 2001 Mazda Tribute.
Yeah, and it was really hard to give her away because the fadge was a great car. It was like an old friend, and we gave it away to Brendan Putty, actually, and we've got him on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, team.
How are you? I'm just looking at you with the fadge and having playing in the park, playing football in the park with the fadge, playing chess with the fadge, and eating dinner with the fadge. I mean, you've fallen in love with the fadge, haven't you?
Well, the fadge really settled in like one of the family, Matt. I think she has some trauma that she's working through, so we're just trying to give her a good start here in the sunny mount.
Yeah, well, interesting you say that, Putty. It's almost like one of those rescue dogs, isn't it, that you take under your wing and you go to feed them and they sort of cower down and sort of come towards you with the tail between their legs, and it takes quite a long time to win the trust. I mean, I know the fadge has been driven by Matt. It's had a number of curbs. It's often you'd hear the cry for help that as you were going around corners of the fan belt. How is the fadge performing?
Well, so far, Jeremy, no big issues. We've taken the fadge to Hamilton, Whakatane, and she's performed admirably. Hang on a second, I'm just going to close the window because I think she might be able to hear Matt's voice. Hang on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hang on.
Good thing.
It's all good.
And you enjoying being able to open up that sunroof and just really get that the air flowing in through the roof?
I tell you, there's one thing I have noticed about the Fedge. She likes a bit of the old whakamanas.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And she loves to blow those rectangles out of her sunroof.
Yeah. It's not always. I don't know about you, but. I don't know if the Fadge is generating the smoke, but definitely likes to have a little bit float out the sunroof.
We're talking to Putty, who's now the new owner of Matt's 2001 tribute, Mazda tribute, the Fadge. How's the economy going in the Fadge? Because, of course, it's a 3.5-litre V6.
She is a thirsty girl, boys.
Thirsty.
It's so thirsty.
I wake up in the morning and I go outside and she's got her tongue on the ground. She is that thirsty.
And the worst part about the Fadge, I would say, I don't want to run it down. She's doing her best, but is the fact that what you got there is a shocking economy, but with no power. So somehow it lacks power, but it also has no economy.
I'll tell you what, it is good here, though, in the Taurangas, a home of the nation's most roundabouts. It does give you a little bit of power out of the roundabout, because there's nothing worse than sitting there wondering whether you should go or not. So you just plant it, and the Fadge responds, actually.
The lack of power you were talking about, Jerry, is when the fan belt was missing.
Yeah, that must be at the top end.
Yeah, it was running on about one cylinder or two cylinders at that point, but you've got all the cylinders going, haven't you?
All the cylinders are going.
It's just some
bad habits. I think whenever I go out in the Fadge, we always seem to end up at the liquor store, and for some reason she refuses to leave until we've purchased something. I think that's something from her past coming back.
So there we go. That's what I'm trying to say, is that it takes a long time, like a rescue dog. It takes a long time for them to lose some of the things that screwed them up in the past.
Yeah. Look, I tell you what, though, the Fadge was very important to me and my family, and it's just great to look at these pictures of she's having a great life with you, possibly a better life, and that makes me feel a little bit jealous, but down there in the mount, it's beautiful.
I think she's having a great life. She smells a lot better now. I mean, there's something I never thought I'd say to another man, Matt, but Matt, you had a smelly Fadge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, at least when you've cleaned that up, that's good.
I'll clean it up.
All right. Well, good to know the Fadge has a good home, and she can start working through some of her issues. And so thanks for taking the Fadge off Matt's hands, Brendan. That's much appreciated.
No worries. And let me assure you, she'll have a long and loving life here in the family here.
Certainly some mechanics are going to be very, very pleased that 2001 Mazda tribute has turned up down there.
Thanks.
So that's it. That's the end of the podcast. And is your life any different? Probably not.
I reckon it would be. I'd call that a life changer.
I wouldn't.
That was a life changer.
I'd say that was a life sucker and a massive waste of time.
Well, you can have your life suck so much that it changes it. You know what I'm saying?